Morena, everyone. Ata Marie. The first reading is from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul had learned that there were false teachers in the church at Colossae. He wrote to oppose those teachings with the true Christian message and to reassure the people of Colossae. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in church at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Thanksgiving and prayer. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. Te whaka moi miti, te koria ki te atua. The parable of the Good Samaritan, which is found only in Luke's Gospel. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongapai tene arte karaiti.
Praise Christ.
Whakamoe me tia ia te kupu mana.
Fantastic. You guys want to grab a seat or we just... Makes me nervous if you're all sitting there behind me. I've got a graphic to go up on the screen if you want to just bring that up now and you can all ooh and ah at it in the background. You'll look at it and you'll go, I wonder what this is about. Well, that's the idea anyway. Ooh, ah. That was an appropriate response. I'm very flattered. Thank you, everybody. If you're wondering what that big box is your life, and it's broken up into your knowing, your being, your doing, and your relating. It might be relevant later on in the sermon. It may not be. We'll see how we go. All right, so what I wanted to preach on was Colossians, because there's lots in there and it's really cool, but I'm not going to. We're instead going to tackle the gospel reading today, because... there's this great moment where a teacher of the law, you know, someone who knows a lot about religious stuff, comes up to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, the first thing I want to do is I just want to define that question for you a little bit, because it would be easy for us sometimes in our mindset to go, what he's asking is, what do I need to do to get into heaven? But that's not quite what he's asking, as we would maybe think about. What he's asking is, what do I need to do to experience the fullness of life with God now and eternally? Does that make sense, everyone? Great, fantastic. All right, now what interests me is that you'd expect a teacher of the law who knows a lot about religious stuff to have the answers for that one, right? So, but there's obviously something. He's coming to Jesus because even though he knows all this religious stuff, he's still not satisfied in some way. He's not feeling like he's experiencing the fullness of life with God. And so he's come to Jesus and said, what must I do to experience the fullness of life with God now and eternally? And interestingly enough, it's the same question, just a few chapters on, that we find a rich young man coming and asking Jesus. He comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to experience the fullness of life with God now and eternally? And this is a guy who's got it all together. Like, he's wealthy and successful and all the rest of it. And Jesus even probes him a little bit and says, well, what are you doing at the moment? He goes, well, I've been keeping all the commandments. I've been doing all the right things. And yet, even though he's been doing all the right religious stuff, there's obviously still a sense of dissatisfaction for him. Even though he's wealthy and successful, there's still a sense of dissatisfaction. So he's coming to Jesus and going, what do I need to do to experience the fullness of life with God now and eternally? Now, back in the mid-90s, I guess, I kind of started to get interested in the whole idea of leadership, and particularly in church leadership or Christian leadership. And so I read a bunch of books that were sort of written, I guess, in the 80s and early 90s. And there was kind of definitely a school of thought that that to be successful in life, whatever success looks like in your life, to be successful in life, you needed, if you knew the right stuff and you were doing the right stuff, you'd be successful, right? that seemed obvious. So there were all these books written. I mean, you might have read some of them. What Color Is Your Parachute? Or The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People? Or all that kind of stuff. Yeah, there were lots of great books that came out at that time. And I remember reading them all, going, "Yeah, that makes sense. If you know the right stuff and you do the right stuff, then you'll be successful and you'll make the most out of life. That seems sort of obvious." And yet, here in our gospel of the Gospel of Luke, we have a religious guy who knows a lot of stuff, but yet doesn't feel connected to God. And then we have a rich young ruler who's doing all the right stuff and yet doesn't feel that connected, that life with God, and are coming asking Jesus questions. And that was interesting, kind of as our idea of leadership sort of grew and as I started to read more books around the turn of the century, some of that research started changing a little bit. Instead of focusing on our knowing and our doing, it discovered something really interesting as they continued to do more research. And the crazy thing is that I reckon Jesus was onto it ahead of everybody else who was writing these books at the turn of the century. I mean, Jesus is a smart guy. I don't know if you know, but he should write a book. Or if he doesn't, he should at least get someone else to write a book on his behalf, because he's got some sharp ideas. So when people approach Jesus and say, what do I need to do to experience the fullness of life now and eternally? Well, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. It's really a question about our being with God, isn't it? And then, of course, the next bit is this: and love your neighbor as yourself, which is really about our relating to people. So we've had a bit of fun with that second one, haven't we? We've done a bit of relating this morning, and I apologize to all you introverts who are just like, "Oh man, it's Ben leading again." And I appreciate that you just sucked it up and did it, you know? It was great. So we've done a little bit of relating because, and I think as painful as it might be for us to get out of our seat and go and talk to someone we didn't know, we kind of know, don't we, that the key to a flourishing church is really that relationship with one another. That's where the joy is. That's where our life is together. That's where we grow with one another in these relationships. That's why God is drawing us together. So we've done a little bit of relating, and we are going to share the piece in a moment, which helps us to take that kind of fun relating to a bit of a deeper place where we're sharing the peace of God, the grace of God, and the love of God with one another. But what I want to do first is I just want to do a little exercise for us to practice our being with God and our awareness of his presence here in our midst. And so what I'm going to do for that is I'm going to use a line that many of you will know. If you don't know it from Psalm 46, you'll know it from a song. It's, "Be still and know that I am God." And I am aware that we've got small children at the back and all the rest of it. So that's fine if they want to interrupt our quiet time with God. That's great. And in fact, it's a wonderful time if you want to hold your child close. This is a wonderful time to do so. But let's just take a moment to center our being upon God. And then we're going to share the peace and practice our relating with God. So close your eyes. Got a child here, you might like to hug them close, draw them into your peace. I want you to just take a moment to be still, to focus on your breathing, to breathe in, hold, and to breathe out. To breathe in. Hold, breathe out. As you become still, you'll notice lots of other sounds, maybe the trailer going past outside, or the birds, or the quiet noises of the children at the back, or the breathing of the person next to you. Just sit with those for a moment. And as we become still, Let us be still in the presence of God together. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still and know. Be still. Be still. Be. As we are aware of your presence with us right now, down to the very core of our being, we pray for your grace to throw off the sin that hinders and the things that so easily bind, that we might experience life in all its fullness with you. As we are still in your presence, we open our lives to your goodness, your blessing, your love, your joy, your grace, your peace. Lord, would you cause the fruit of your Spirit to blossom and bloom in our lives? Lord, as we are still in your presence, we become aware of those whom we share our lives with that you would have us pray for. And just give you an opportunity now just to pray for people who need healing. Pray for people who need to know the presence of God in their situation right now. Pray for God, people who are going through tough times, that God might lead them through. Let us lift those whom we love before God today. Lord, as we are still in your presence, as we lay our lives down once more as an offering for you, as we trust your goodness in the world around us and in the lives of those whom we love, we pray that we would know your peace, what it means to live the fullness of life with you now and eternally. The peace of Christ be always with you. Stefano, we are the body of Christ. By one Spirit, we were baptized into one body. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. We are bound by the love of Christ. I just feel that lovely sense of peace. Would you go and share that with people around you now? Give them a handshake, a hug. Just share the peace of God, the grace of God with those we're in communion with now. One, two, three, one, two, three. Let's regather together in worship. Prepare our hearts for communion. Praise to the Lord.